Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside. Welcome to Couch Time with Amy Wine, the podcast that's all about helping high achievers like you thrive in life, relationships, and business. Hey there, I'm your host, Amy Wine, and each week I will be bringing you insights, inspiration, and practical strategies to help you live your best life. So whether you're looking to improve your relationships, grow your business, or find more meaning and purpose, you have come to the right place. With expert interviews, real-life stories, and actionable advice, Couch Time with Amy Wine is the ultimate guide to personal growth and success. So grab your cup of coffee or tea, like me, get comfortable on that couch, and join me for real life, real relationships, real people. It is time to take your life to the next level, and I am here to help you every step of the way.
Renee, welcome to Couch Time with Amy Wine. I am so excited to have you here sitting, well, really not on the couch with me, but we're going to pretend through Zoom, right?
I mean, we have had some couch time
in
the past, like holed up in a hotel room, both of us sitting on a couch, working through all sorts of things. So
I think a lot of that was getting me focused. The last time we were on the couch, it was a lot of, Amy is not focused on what Amy should be focused on.
I wasn't going to say that because you're the counselor, but yeah, it's true. It always helps to have someone to talk to.
Absolutely. So I want to talk to you today about identity, like living authentically you, because I think this is something that you do pretty well, even when there needs to be a shift. Like, I want you to talk to me about that because I think recently you've kind of made a shift as well, but how does that come about? Because I think as women, we wear so many different hats and you definitely wear a lot of hats. So my first question, now that I'm going to dial in and not ramble, is how do you wear all of those hats while still being authentically who you are?
Gosh, Amy, that's such a tough question. And I think that it has a really simple answer that probably has a complex application, right? And it's really being true to who God made me to be. Mm-hmm. And that's where I've found that I have to find my identity is in the woman, in the wife, in the mother, in the leader, in the encourager that God made me to be. And when I can see that he didn't make a mistake and that he made me to be uniquely me, I find that I have confidence in who he made me to be. So that's what everything in my identity is based upon. But then how that gets lived out is challenging and complex and truly challenged every day, right? We have to figure out what we're not willing to compromise on. We have to figure out what we truly believe about ourselves and about the world around us and our role in that world. And I think that there are a lot of complexities in that. And I'm happy to dig deeper into any of that that you think would be important to our audience today.
Yeah, I do. I think you're right. It's a simple answer of knowing who and whose you are, but living it out authentically day in and day out when life happens, right? You get the bumps in the roads and the hills and valleys, and it's hard to stick through that. So what is one thing that you do daily that helps you stay grounded so that you can live your authentic self?
The number one thing, and the thing that I do every single day, don't miss a day unless I'm really sick and just not getting out of bed, is journal. I start my day with this every morning. Well, okay, start my day with coffee and then my journal.
Right.
But I journal, and I have a journal format that I use every single day. My Bible sits right on top of it, and I do some Bible reading during that time. But the journaling really helps center me and really thinking about what has happened in the past day, what some positive things were that happened, what lessons I'm learning, what I'm grateful for or thankful for, and what I need to focus on today, and then kind of processing what God's word is saying to me are all really, really important parts of that morning routine for me. And then I have a second.
Yes, I can have a coffee. Yeah, because you did a lot of work between the first and the second.
Right. Absolutely. So that really does help getting me centered around who I am, what's been going right, what I'm thankful for. Like adding that gratitude piece in really shifted a lot of things for me when I started journaling very consistently at 3 or 4 years ago. Really helped turn my mind around in the things that felt like obstacles to me and being thankful for the challenges that they presented.
I love that because I think there's some keys in there for people to hear. Is one, you're consistent. Two, you're focusing on things that you've done well over the last day. And what are you grateful for? Right? There's it's positive energy flowing in there because I think too often we can get into, there's negative coming at us all day long. And I know for me, I can get very negative in my brain very fast and it spirals. So I love that you're just taking that time to recenter with that, because if not, does the negative creep in?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the negative creeps in whether I do that or not.
Right.
But I think I can control it better when I have a mechanism by which to process it. And obviously, I do that through journaling. I do that through getting coaching and getting counseling and having friends who have permission to speak into my life and call me out when I'm not being true to myself. And, you know, they've earned that place in my life for sure. I don't take that from just anybody, but we need that kind of feedback from others and really from the Lord in our lives to really get centered, recentered around the good that we're doing.
I think for me, what I've learned is being open and vulnerable with people that I can trust and aligning myself and surrounding myself with that circle has been life-changing for me in the last year. Absolutely life-changing.
I'm so glad that you said that. I think it's really important, especially as, you know, so many people felt isolated. I mean, executives feel isolated anyway. And then you add the pandemic and all of the implications of that on top of it. And I think we're probably in a period of time where we're feeling lonely or isolated even more than ever before. Yet at the same time, we've been afforded the time to slow down our busy lives and examine the relationships that we have and really lean into the ones that are most important to us. So I hope that if you're listening, if you haven't taken the time to do that work, to really figure out who the most important people are to speak into your life, take the time to do that. It's really important, and really encourage that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's made a huge difference for me that it took me doing my own inner work and realizing that because I have some trust issues, that's a whole story for another day, but I own them. But for me to open up and be vulnerable with the deepest parts of my life, I've recently had an experience, and you were there, where that was very difficult for me in that group of people. But I'm getting chills now talking about it because I know it was actually God-led too. And I've never felt so much supported in my life. So now I crave it. Now I'm like, okay, how can I serve them well as well, but know that there are people that care. And I think that we do live in isolation so much, especially last year, we forget that people care. that people want to know us, to be there for us. We just have to step out in that faith. Okay, so I want to ask you, what is something you do in your free time? Because you are busy. You're an author, speaker, podcaster, coach.
I have an answer for this.
Okay, go.
It used to be different. Like, it used to be gardening and reading, and now it is flying. It's my new favorite fun thing to do.
I love it. So tell me, what shifted with you to encourage you and motivate you to go get your pilot's license? Because I know this is recent and it is huge. I watched what you had to do, and people, is not easy. Like, it's not easy.
Two things really motivated me. One, my daughter flies, and being in the aviation industry and encouraging my daughter to get her pilot's license, and not just a private pilot's license, but a multi-engine license, an instrument license, a commercial license, and being able to be type rated to fly in jets was all really inspiring to me. But I still didn't think it was for me. I was just inspired by it. And then one of the friends that I've made on an advisory board that I sit on for the FAA said, "Hey, you just need to do it. You need to challenge your brain to think in a different way. Otherwise, your brain is just going to shrink." And I was like, okay, that's a compelling reason to do this. And then I thought, the only way I'm going to get it done is if I just jump in with both feet and do an immersive experience and just fly 4 or 5 times a day for as long as it takes me to get this done. And that's what I did. And it was incredibly hard. Amy, you know how emotionally and physically exhausted I was during that 3.5 weeks that it took me to get my pilot's license. But gosh, it was so great. And I came home and my daughter and I flew somewhere together. And my sister-in-law was sitting in the back seat, and she was like, "It is so cool to watch you two fly together, just to hear all the things that you're talking about, and Brooke encouraging you and you encouraging Brooke. That's just really, really neat." And so that's my new favorite thing. I love being Brooke's co-pilot. It's just delightful. It's definitely a different thing being mentored by your child after you've been her mentor for so long, but she's a much better pilot than I am. I don't know that she has more fun, Amy. I think I may be enjoying it even more than her.
I love that story. And it's such a connection between you and her as well. And it's powerful, because I think what I want people to hear from this is, one, there's always time to keep growing and stretching your brain, because I'm a firm believer in lifelong learning. I also think, follow your dreams, follow your passions, because too often we get stuck in that spiral of the day to day, and we get busy and we lose focus on what really matters. Because I think what really matters is that we are living authentic to who we are. We are finding the positives in ourselves instead of beating ourselves up, and that we have forward momentum to keep building upon it so that we can put that back into our life, right? So we have the motivation to put it back into our life and live fully alive, honestly.
I think there's so much value in stepping outside of your comfort zone. And I think it's really interesting. You know, you and I have been talking about this for years, about setting goals that are outside of our comfort zone. The next step that you do doesn't have to be outside of your comfort zone, but your goal needs to be outside of your comfort zone, because that's how you stretch and grow. And when you make those goals, and girl, you know, I said it out loud to hundreds of people that I was going to do it so that I couldn't back out, so that there would be hundreds of people holding me accountable to press through to the finish there. And just doing that not only held me accountable for that, but it tweaked my identity a little bit, in that there were people who said to me, "I knew if you said you were going to do it, that you would get it done." So putting myself out there like that held me accountable, but it also gave me confidence that that's the way other people see me, as a woman who keeps her word, who's not afraid to do something new, and who is going to press through and finish what she started. And so just doing that improved the way that I see myself. And honestly, it probably improved the way I see myself because I, through this exercise, I improved myself. Yeah. Now I have a new skill set now and a new knowledge base now that I didn't have before. And it's just really interesting to see how the choices that you make to do the big things can really impact that identity that you have. So, you know, I often get asked this question, what would you go back and tell your 25-year-old self? And I always have the same answer. Take the risks.
Yeah.
Failure is a great way to learn. You can take the risks. Risks are important.
Yeah. And so many people don't want to take them. They're scared to take them. They're scared to take that leap of faith. And I think it goes back to, I am a risk taker by nature. It doesn't bother me as much, but at the same time, having people and that support system around me has helped me take risks that I never even dreamed could be there, right? Like wow. I was dreaming too small. Now I'm like, I'm not dreaming big enough. That's been life-changing for me. So tell me, what's on your to-do list for the rest of this year? You just accomplished getting this pilot's license, which is massive, but I know you're not stopping there. So what is on your to-do list for the rest of this year?
Okay, well, my number one priority, and I hate to say this because it sounds kind of selfish, but my number one priority is to buy an airplane. Because like now I have my license and I have to rent an airplane. So I'm ready to buy my own airplane. So I'm working on that. One other huge thing that I'm doing for the rest of this year is completing the work that I signed up for on the FAA Women in Aviation Advisory Board. And this is such important work for Congress to have assigned it to the FAA to appoint a board of women who could examine the things that are holding women back in the aviation industry, from entering the industry, from staying in the industry, and from moving into leadership positions in the industry. And I love the women that I've met working on this board. I've met some absolutely amazing women in leadership all over the country. And it's exciting work examining what's wrong with the industry and then making the recommendations for what can be improved. And we've kind of taken on a little bit more than what we were assigned, because the charter is to come up with recommendations for the FAA and Congress. Mm-hmm. And what we've determined is that the FAA and Congress cannot lawmake their way into a solution for why there are only 3 to 5% female pilots on airlines, or why only 4 or 5% of air traffic controllers are women, even smaller numbers in aircraft sales and in aircraft maintenance. And so what we've decided is that industry needs to play a part. All the companies that are involved need to play a part. The associations need to play a part, and nonprofits need to play a part. So we're going to make recommendations to everybody. And then we're going to help to put some of those recommendations in place. So I'm not sure exactly what that lines up to be for me, but I know it's going to be some equipping tools for young women in the industry and for women who are trying to move up in the industry who need some additional emotional and professional support in advancing their careers in this field. I think it's a really exciting time to be a woman in aviation.
Absolutely. And how powerful is that? Like, that's where it gets to me, like dreaming big. Like, we're not dreaming big enough. I mean, you're sitting on an FAA board making recommendations to help women grow in what they want and who they want to be, what they want to do, and helping align that in an industry they're not there. Like, huge, huge. I love that passion in you for sure. So you've got a good rest of the year.
Yeah. We've got both of those. Now I've said both of those things out loud. So now I have to follow up, because that's my identity. I do what I say I'm going to do.
You got a follow-up?
And I am really excited about helping women. It's why I coach. It's why I've done the leadership things in the industry that I'm in that I've done. I think it's just a really noble, not that I'm saying that I'm noble, but it's really a worthwhile use of my time. And you know this about me. I try to filter what I do through what my values are. And this one feels like it fits pretty well.
Yes, I love that. Let's talk about that a little bit more so that people can learn. I too am big on values. I hire based on values. I make decisions in business based on values. I make decisions on my life based on my values. So how do people figure out what their values are? Because I think so many, we don't do that deep dive, and it's not terribly difficult, but how do you figure out what your values are and keep them at the forefront with the lens of what you're looking through?
Yeah, I mean, there are several ways to go through and figure out what your values are. You know, there's a deck of cards with values. You can get a list of values downloaded off the internet, kind of say, okay, these are my top five. And then I think that you hold true to those. I learned from you in one of your online courses that's a great exercise to do with your significant other, whether that's a business partner or a spouse or a family, really going through and deciding what your family values are. Yeah. But I take it a step further in my life to provide a filter for myself. And I'm going to turn from the camera here for a second so I can read to you what I have, because it's written on the corner of my whiteboard so that I can filter every decision through it. And I call this my life vision. And it goes like this. It's my vision to serve the Lord to the best of my ability across all domains for as long as possible, following him even when it's hard or seems risky, reserving my best time and resources for legacy matters, growing in knowledge, strength, wisdom, and grace, and guarding my heart, my health, and my family. Mm-hmm. So anytime I have to make a decision, it gets filtered through that vision for my life, because that's what I want my kids to be able to say about me at the end of my life. Yeah, my mom had this written on her whiteboard every time we visited, mm-hmm. and she really lived it. We saw her do this. We saw her stick true to what she wanted to be said about her and her funeral. And I think that that's a really good way to think about it. And you can start anywhere. Amy, as people are listening to this, I want them to hear that. You can start with, I want to make decisions that are true to myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important work. You know, that work, I just thought of this other example of a practical place that someone can start with this. That work started for me listing out a whole 30 minutes just writing I believe statements. And it's just what I believe. Mm-hmm. And if you really do that, if you just brainstorm, if you get a pen and a piece of paper and set a timer for 30 minutes and complete the sentence, I believe, your values rise to the top. What's important to you rises to the top in that exercise.
I love that. Wow. You just blew me away. And I think
I've never had you do that.
No.
Uh-oh.
Like, I probably need to sit. I believe I have had other people do that, but I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, I have my values. I have my visions for the company, but I have not done my vision for my life. And I've seen yours, but you reading it back to me just really impacted me in the way that it's like, oh my gosh, I have got to get that done and post it up here so that I truly make sure that I'm looking through that lens. That's amazing. I love it. And I'm going to link in the show notes the exercise you mentioned in my course for couples to do the value exercise together. You could do it alone or you could do it with your spouse, but eye-opening in your marriage for sure.
I bet.
Yeah. I bet. I'm so passionate about what you're speaking to right now with women having life vision and knowing who they are, whose they are, what's really there, taking off their masks. That's what my new course is actually going to be about. It's going to be called Awaken. And it's going to be for women finding who and whose they are, right? Authentically being able to know that and apply that to their daily life so that they don't get lost behind those masks.
You know what's so important about that, Amy, is that when we're secure in who we are, we're able to reach out and help others, other women, other men, anyone who God puts in our path. When we aren't secure in who we aren't attractive to be around from an emotional standpoint. We tend to belittle people or bully people or really serve just ourselves because we don't feel secure in who we are. And so really, it's more than just about you doing it for yourself. You need to do it for the people that you love. You need to figure out who you are and why you're here so that you don't end up handicapping the other people around you. And I know, you know, on this side of parenting, my kids are grown. I look back and think about the things that, you know, maybe I could have done differently with my kids if I had really felt comfortable with who I was when they were young. And I was still pretty young when my kids were young. I had kids in my early 20s. But I believe that if I had done the hard work earlier in my life, I could have been an even better parent. My kids will tell me that I was a great parent, but all of us have things that we could have done differently, you know, specific times when we weren't making great choices or we weren't taking good care of our mental and emotional health and maybe weren't the best parent that we could be or weren't the best spouse that we could be. And I think doing that work as early in life as possible is so helpful.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I didn't do it earlier in life. And I feel that my kids paid for that. They will also say I'm a good mom.
Yeah.
There's just little things you can see in retrospect that it's like, oh my gosh, that would have made such a difference if I knew then what I know now. So that's why I'm so passionate about teaching. Yeah.
So and it translates to the workplace too. I mean, I definitely could have been a different boss many times in my career. And I think I am different now. I think I've grown and I've learned and I'm more attentive and I listen better and I coach my employees now, which is a really important trait for a business leader as well, I think.
Being a coaching leader, I love it. That's on one of my things this year is to be a coaching leader. Yeah, I need to do an episode on that. Okay, so talking about masks, I mentioned them. I think that we wear masks for different areas of our life. So, and sometimes it's necessary. They're kind of our safety, right? You just kind of wear it invisibly over your face. And it's, you know, I might have a mask for my husband or my kids or my friends, or when I go to the doctor, I'm a different, right? I'm more reserved. When I'm at the gym, I might have something different I'm trying to hide behind. When I am working with clients, I may not want them to know things about me. You know what I'm talking about? Those masks we wear. So what is a mask that you wear, that you struggle with, that you need to take off?
Wow. I know you'll call me out on this in our next coaching session if I'm wrong, but I'm not sure that I have one. I know that I wear a mask when I'm in negotiations,
right?
Or aircraft sales. It's a very non-emotional, very non-reactionary, very cool-headed mask when I may be feeling pretty irritated behind the scenes. But I'm not sure that that's one that I need to remove. I think that mask, that control serves me well. I feel like for the most part, I'm an open book. I get pretty vulnerable with people pretty quickly in a personal setting. And I think I feel pretty comfortable with who I am. I don't feel like I have a lot more work to do there. But you know, the minute that you say that, the minute you show up at a counseling session and you say, well, I really don't have anything to talk about, then that's when you really do have work to do. So I don't want to sound immune to that, but I don't think that there are masks that I wear that are detrimental to who I am and what I'm trying to accomplish.
Right. I love that. So one of my questions was going to be for you, what is unique about you? But I want to answer it for you.
Okay.
So what I find unique about you, and one of the reasons I was so like, I want you on my podcast, like now to talk about this, is because you are one of the few people that I feel has done so much of the inner work that it's become almost natural to you to reflect and do that work, right? It's not easy, but you don't avoid it, where I've avoided it for a long time, but you really, if something pops up, you address it. You may not address it that day, but you sit with it, you soak with it, you don't ignore it. You walk through it instead of around it, on top of it. And I think that is extremely unique, but it's a testament to the work that you've done in yourself.
Oh, thank you. You know, when I did that I Believe exercise about 6 years ago, I asked my family members what they thought some of my strengths were. And my daughter-in-law said that about me. She said, I don't see you as a person who lets conflict sit on the table. I see you as a person who, if something needs to be said, you figure out a gracious way to say it and you address it. You know, you don't beat around the bush. You address it head on and get it out of the way so it's not hindering other things. And, you know, I'm not sure if she meant it as a compliment or not at that time, because we were planning a wedding and all that fun, anxious stuff. But I really believe that she sees that as a strength in me now. And we talk about that a little bit. It's fun. It does help you sleep better at night.
So what do you not like to do?
I really, really hate ironing.
I love this question because I never know what I'm going to get.
Like, I don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, if something needs to be ironed, it goes to the cleaners. Like, I buy stuff that doesn't need to be ironed, and I encourage my husband to do the same thing. I also don't really like to make cold calls.
Yeah.
And I have call reluctance if it's cold calling. Like, I have to psych myself up to make calls when you know, something needs to be done that's in that area. I'm not particularly fond of accounting. You know, that's always been in my drudgery zone when we start talking about things like that. But I like to do a whole lot of things.
Right. Yeah, I think your list is very short of things that you don't like. But I think there's strength in knowing what you don't like to do or you don't want to do, so that you can get somebody else to help you. Because we all have strengths and we all have things that we're not good at. Yeah. Accounting is definitely in my drudgery zone as well. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. So I have a last final question for you.
Okay.
Do you share one thing you've done that most people wouldn't believe?
We already talked about my pilot's license.
I know. That's why I saved it for later. So you have to come up with something else.
I am pretty timid physically. Like, I'm not an athlete, but one summer between my freshman and sophomore year in college, I worked at an amusement park named Kings Island.
I've been there.
I would ride roller coasters, which I don't do anymore, but I would ride roller coasters holding the restraints up like this, so that when we got back to the loading bay, me and the person next to me could slip out behind the restraints and look like we rode this like crazy upside down roller coaster with no restraints over us.
Oh my gosh. Love that. I've been to Kings Island, so I know what you're talking about in Ohio. So
yeah.
I love roller coasters, but I am never gonna make it look like I have restraint, because I'm the one screaming, going, ah!
You wouldn't have been able to do that, because workers go through and check to make sure you have your restraints on, and they would just wink at us.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love that. That is awesome. So
there you go. I've never told anyone that, Amy.
Well, you just told
me. Confessions on Couch Time with Amy Wine.
That's right. That's what we're here for, right? Make it, gotta get deep. So I love having you on here with me talking about this topic, because I think it's going to bring so much value to so many people. And I know you're inspiring to me as well, personally inspiring to me to make me better. And I can't thank you enough. I think people are going to be really inspired by what you said.
Oh, well, you know, I always love hanging out with you, spending time with you. I'm glad that we get to share this with others. Thanks for inviting me to be a guest.
You're very welcome. Then I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to Couch Time. This is Amy Wine, and I hope you've enjoyed today's episode and gained some valuable insights that you can apply to your own life, relationships, and business. Remember, you're capable of achieving anything you set your mind to, and I believe in you. Keep showing up, keep taking action, and keep striving for greatness. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe. I would be forever grateful if you could please leave a rating and a review and share it with someone who you think could benefit from these conversations. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, keep living your life authentically and intentionally on purpose, and keep thriving in all areas of your life. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're gonna tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection. We're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're gonna find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com. And let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.